Today's daf in Masechet Gittin is daf Pei Beit, and we're holding right at the beginning of this amazing new perek, Hamegaresh et Ishto. So the situation over here, remember, Hamegaresh et Ishto, v'amalo hariat muteret l'chol adam, ela l'ploni. You are allowed to marry anyone. He doesn't write this in the get. As he hands her the get, he makes this statement. I'm giving you this get so you can marry anybody except for so-and-so. I mean, doesn't say except, it says Ella. Now, the word Ella is a little bit unclear because Ella sometimes means but. Let's say, for instance, as Tosis points out in the Mishnah in Zvachim, Kol Zvachim shenizbuchu shelo l'shman kasherim Ella shelo alu l'balim l'shem chova. What does that mean? It means aval, but. I mean, that doesn't mean but over here. So there's two possibilities of what this could mean. It could mean except for, right? Or it could mean, however, I am making it condition. So in other words, Ella Laploni, I want to make certain that you don't marry so-and-so. So Ella could mean not necessarily chutz, but it could mean this is being given with the understanding that you will not marry Ploni, which makes it a condition. Now, remember that if he makes a condition that you won't eat chocolate chips for the next 10 years, right? That's a perfectly good condition. So even if he says that you won't ever do anything for your dad, that's a good condition too, as long as he doesn't make it her whole life. In other words, it's something that is a condition that will run out very possibly sometime during her life. Her father will die. He said chocolate chips only for the next 10 years, so on. So then it's not considered to be what is known as a shiur in the get. He's not leaving anything out of the divorce. He's just adding a condition to the divorce. So if he doesn't want her to marry another guy, and he says, I'm giving you this in condition, you don't marry this other guy. So then you could see that as not necessarily directly affecting the divorce, because he's just making condition that she doesn't marry another guy. On the other hand, he could be saying, this is a get for all people except for this other guy. But then if that's true, remember that one of the psukim that we were medayak on early on in the Masechet was Sefer Kritut. Sefer Kritut means this Sefer has to be an absolute cutoff. Well, I mean, it's not an absolute cutoff if he's saying I'm not cutting my marriage off except for everyone else, but not for this guy. So then it's not a real cutoff. That's called a shiur beget, leaving something that is still left alive of the marriage. And then that should destroy the value of the get completely. Okay, so we have a machlokas. We're going to discuss what the machlokas is applicable to an almanat case or to an other than case. And of course, Rebbe has managed to do it again because he could have made it very simple. He could have said the Mishnah, Alminat, that you won't marry so-and-so. Or he could have said the Mishnah in the case of Areat Muteret Ladam, Kol Adam, Chutz Mi so-and-so. So he left it up in the air so that now we could have two totally different machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer, and we wouldn't be certain from the Mishnah, which is part of the genius of Rebbe's Torah Shebaal Peh, in which he includes 13 different ways of reading every Mishnah, remember, as we've seen elsewhere. So he always chooses the language that leaves us most confused. Remember, that's done on purpose in order to allow the maximum of variations and entangled pirushim in the nature of the Torah, because it's meant to be Baal Peh. Now, how about this case? What would he do? Sorry. What would he do? Kate said, yes, according to Chachomim, that that's not a kosher get. He would have to take the get back, and now he should give her the get properly, this time making it very clear. Normally, he wouldn't have to do this. But since he already stuck himself into a corner, and he said, I'm only giving you this get on condition, or except for so-and-so, he's got to make it very clear that this time he's giving it without any such clause in his mind, and he has to say to her, Areat Muteret L'chol Adam, I'm giving you this get so that you should be allowed to marry anybody. Now, suppose he wrote in the get the words, Areat Muteret L'chol Adam Ella L'ploni, then what? Can he just erase it? Can he take it back and erase it? No. Even if he did that and he erased it, it would still be pasul, which is interesting because the Rishonim are medayik from here, that you see that the only reason that it's pasul over here is not because he erased it. The reason it's pasul is because he had written it. So in other words, if there's another reason to erase, let's say made a mistake in the get, you erased the get and then you fixed it, then there's no problem, apparently. And that would mean that we accept erasures in the get. Because otherwise, why do you have to tell me specifically in this case? Because when he wrote the get, it wasn't a properly constructed Sefer Kritut, that it doesn't help to erase something to turn it into a proper Sefer Kritut, you see? So this Tosis is Medayik that you see from here, that Stam, the nature of an erasure per se, does not possibly get. However, says Tosfos, the minhag is that we do not allow erasures in a get, but there's nothing that is necessarily a real psul in a get, according to what we just saw in this mishnah. Okay, now, the question that the Gemara has, obviously, is how do we understand this word? What does Ela mean? As I showed you earlier, Ela could mean something entirely irrelevant. Ela could mean aval, however, you know, like in the case of Zvachim. But over here we understand that it is meant to be understood as an exception. But in what way does it mean to make this exception? Is it saying except chutz? In other words, I'm only giving this get with the understanding that it's not meant to dissolve our marriage when it comes to that jerk that I hate his guts and I don't want to see you marrying him. Or does it mean I'm giving this to you on condition that you don't marry so-and-so? Now, I want to point out, as Tosfos does, that a get is not only there to allow her to marry someone else. A get is there to allow her to have sexual relations with someone else. So if he says over here that you cannot, almanat, that you won't get married to so-and-so, that's a little bit misleading, as Tosfos points out. Because the fact is that if he made a condition that you won't marry somebody else, then he's not saying she can't have sex with him. She's saying he can't marry her. In which case, the get vis-a-vis the marriage, his marriage, it certainly cancels his marriage. Then it would be a secondary condition, like any secondary condition. My marriage doesn't prevent you from doing anything you want. The condition is that you don't marry him. That's all. But the status of marriage that prevents her from having relations with other people is no longer binding. Therefore, Tosfos understands, at least there's two deus in Tosfos, but the way the Rabbeinu comes out is that actually the meaning over here is, I don't want you not marrying and not having any sexual relations with this guy. And that's why our concern over here would be that even if it were written on a Tanai, it would somehow define the nature of the continuing marriage. Okay, so that's an aside, but let's assume that there's no real difference between what he's doing, if he's doing it as a condition, or what he's doing it, if he's doing it as a shiur for the get. So now, we could then understand the mission in two ways. If it means except so-and-so, so then that would mean, so the Chachamim are arguing on Reb Eliezer, obviously because he didn't give a complete Sefer Kritut. He made a Sefer Kritut not affect his marriage in every way. It only affects it in 99.999% of the way. But that's not called a Sefer Kritut. And that is a very good reason for them to argue with Reb Eliezer, because he was Meshayer in the actual Gerushin. But suppose he would have said, on condition. Then on condition is just like any other condition. What's the difference if I say, on condition that you don't have relations with this guy, or if I say, on conditions that you don't eat chocolate chips? Basically, it's the same idea. Now, Trevor's got his little Apple Watch over there, which is sounding like a birdie, right? Where's that birdie coming from?
Unless it's that's so nice.
Maybe that's how Trevor sounds nowadays. It was actually Dvorah. We accused you wrongly. We thought you were sprouting wings and were about to fly away. Okay, so that would be a good argument in the case of chutz, but if it was just unconditioned, it wouldn't be any different. That would be one way to understand the Mishnah. The other way to understand the Mishnah is on the contrary. The meaning of Ella is unconditioned, that you don't marry so-and-so. And that would mean that Rebbe Eliezer would actually only be arguing on this because he says, well, what's the difference between not marrying so-and-so and not eating chocolate chips? But if it came to a question where the guy said, Beferish, I'm giving you this get, and it is not a get vis-a-vis so-and-so, then he would agree that that is not a get because it has to be an actual sefer kritut, an absolute cutoff. And over here, he was not absolutely cutting off his marriage. He is saying that as far as I'm concerned, you're still married to me when it comes to this guy. Well, if I'm still married to you, that's a lot worse than having a strings on the get, right? Omravina, well, I think I could show you that the word Ella definitely means not almana. Ella means except. Because here, take a look at this Mishnah over here from a second Nigai. All types of homes can become tame with a nega in the house. Yeah. Ella. Shalav de kochavim. Now, what does Ella mean? I mean, obviously, it means except, right? So, yeah, maybe shama chutz. I mean, you're going to tell me, except for homes that are owned by non-Jews. Okay, so then that makes sense. If you're going to tell me Ella means on condition, how in the heck would you read the Mishnah? Now, what? That homes are tame bitzaras on condition that bate of the kochavim are not metame bitzaras. So only if bate of the kochavim are not metame bitzaras, that's where bate Yisrael are metame. But if bate of the kochavim are metame bitzaras, then bate Yisrael are not metame. That's insane. Furthermore, they're not metame, for God's sake. We learn that out of a pasuk. So what would it be dependent on? The old bate of the kochavim meet metame. V'atanya, v'natati nega tzorat bebeit eretz achuzatchem. It says, beferish in the Torah, that a nega tzorat can only affect homes that are in your possession, which means eretz achuzatchem mitama b'negaim ve'in batei ovdei kochavim mitame b'negaim. So therefore, it's clear that the word ella means chutz. Now, gentlemen, I'm sure that you are very troubled by this almost nonsensical Alice in Wonderland type reading of the Mishnah in the Gaon. I mean, what do you mean? How could it mean almanat? And then you actually bother speaking out how it can mean almanat? I mean, and then you start arguing about whether it would be possible. No, it's silly. It's just a waste of time. Well, there are Rishonim, including the Ravid, who actually speak out a very brilliant explanation of how it actually might mean almanat. It's a bit complex for us here in the daf, but it boils down to a question of whether the nega started in the house of an Oved Kochavim and then was purchased with the nega. So then the almanat would mean exactly what it says. And it would be if there would be shayach, a nega in the house of a goy, then all the goyim could become tame, even if you purchased the house with a nega, and now it's yours. So then it would mean that there would be shaykhs to a nega in the house of another kechavim. Forget about the details, but the point is that this is not just an exercise in futility. There would be ways to actually read it, and the Gemara is saying, except that it isn't true. And there, it would imply that there was some shaykhs of batei of the kechavim, and there isn't. Okay. So therefore, if we see that the word Ella is used without any kind of ambivalence, it means except. So then here too, it must mean except. So Ella Shema min Achutz. And that would mean that in our Mishnah, what it is that we're talking about is Machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer, and the Rabbanan in a case where someone actually did a shiur in the Etzem Get. And nonetheless, Rebbe Eliezer says that it's good. Not only that, but it means if he would have said almanat, that the Rabbanan would have agreed that there's no difference between saying on condition that you don't eat chocolate chip cookies is exactly the same as on condition that you don't sleep with Mr. Chocolate Chip. So it's basically just like any other condition. Now, that is not consistent with the following brisa, because in the following brisa, we see that there's an approach in which the machlokas affects almanat and not chut. So masisu loki hybrid. The Tanya. Amar Reb Yossi Reb Yehuda. You got it all wrong. Reb Eliezer and the Chachomi never argued about a case where somebody is megarish his wife and he says to her, Areyat mutar tochol adam chutz miploni. For sure she's not megureshet. That is the classic example of a shiur b'kiddushin. A get kritut means exactly what it says, a sefer kritut, total and absolute cutoff. This is insane for you to say, well, you're still married to me when it comes to that guy. I mean, that's ridiculous. So then you have not dissolved your marriage. So that nobody would hold, okay? So the case that they disagreed with was only where he was megaresh et ishto, and he makes a condition, and he says, areyat mutar tochol adam, on condition that you don't marry so-and-so. And remember, we mentioned earlier that it doesn't mean literally that you don't marry so. It means you don't have sexual relations. I don't care in what context it is. So it's basically doing the same thing that a marriage would do. It's preventing her from having relations with other men. So there, Reb Eliezer says, well, it's perfectly good get. I mean, obviously, she can't marry that guy because then that would cancel the get. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, it's not a get at all. So she's asura. Now, Reb Eliezer's reasoning is quite clear. This is chocolate chips or Mr. Chocolate Chips. What's the difference? So, mita d'havi akol t'nai b'alma. But the Rabbanan say, no, don't you see that there's a difference? I mean, chocolate chips doesn't have anything to do with marriage. Mr. Chocolate Chips does have something to do with marriage. So all he's doing around is tweaking our nose and telling us, see, I cancel my marriage, except it still works as if it's a marriage. That's not just called a regular condition. And it's just nonsensical to compare Mr. Chocolate Chips to chocolate chips. You're not talking about a shiur baguette when you're talking about chocolate chips. But when you're talking about relations with a man, you're talking about effectively, I mean, come on, Reb Eliezer, effectively, you're continuing the marriage. And therefore, it is, in effect, a shiur baguette. That's the bottom line. Okay, so now we've got two very different approaches. Are we talking about a case of a shiur baguette in terms of chutz, or are we talking about a t'nai, which might be effectively a shiur b'chutz, according to the Rabban? Okay, so now getting to the Mishnah. The Mishnah, you said, was referring to literally to chutz. What would be the logic of Reb Eliezer in saying that if a man says that my marriage is still in effect when it comes to Mr. So-and-so, that in that case, it's considered to still be a get? Now, how do you explain that? My time at the Reb Eliezer. Where would Reb Eliezer come up with such an idea if the Torah says, Beferish get kritut, sefer kritut? Where is the kritut here? My time at the Reb Eliezer. Omer Reb Yanai, Mishum Zaken Echad. There is a magical reason for Reb Eliezer. You're right. It does not follow logically. It's based on a special pasuk. And that would be the pasuk that says, Omar Kra, v'yatsa mibeto, v'halcha v'hayata le'ish acher. So now, in describing the get, the Torah says, and then after he puts in her hand a sefer kritut, she leaves his home and she goes to another man. I mean, I understand. Why do I have to talk about le'ish acher? I mean, she went to someone else. I mean, what do we think she's marrying, a bird? I mean, so obviously, I tell her, Isha Kher, the point is that we're trying to say, even if all she was able to do was a particular Isha Kher, and he gave her a get, and he said, I'm giving you this divorce in order to marry Mr. Chocolate Chips, but you can't marry anybody else. So it says over here, she goes and marries Mr. Chocolate Chips. So you see that the Torah is allowing you to give a get that's only matter for one person. So obviously, if he's matter for everyone except for one person, heck, that's a lot better than just being matter for one person, isn't it? So afilo lo hitira elo leish acher arezu migureshe. So as long as vis-a-vis that one person, it's a total kritut. Doesn't mean it's a total kritut across the board, necessarily. So you're right. If the Torah hadn't said that, obviously I would have no right to claim that when it says a sefer kritut, it means a sefer kritut vis-a-vis one person. But I'm showing you that that's clearly what the Torah means, a sefer kritut vis-a-vis one person. So therefore, it would be a kosher get, even if it isn't matter to everyone. The Rabbanan say, when it says le'ish acher, for God's sake, it means to any other man. That's the point. And it's coming to tell me exactly the opposite. It means it's got to be permitted to any man, which is the get applies to everyone. Okay, that's one explanation. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, actually, there's a very beautiful basis for Rabbi Eliezer, and it goes further than even you suspect. Time to Rabbi Eliezer Mehaka. There is this wild pasuk that we had. Remember, we analyzed this when we were talking about the dinim of Reach HaGet. So what we analyzed was the pasuk about a kohen. So it says that a kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. But how does it use the word divorcee? Isha grusha me'isha lo ikach. A woman divorced from her husband. Well, I mean, I should hope so. Who else is she divorced from? The monkey on a string? Of course she's divorced from her husband. So why doesn't it just say, Isha grusha lo yikachu? Why may Isha? This is an amazing chiddush that the Torah is telling us that a woman who is only divorced from her husband, but she's not mutera to anybody else. What? Yes. He says, you are divorced from me, but I'm not allowing you to marry anybody else. I mean, that is the ultimate contradiction to the concept of a sefer kritut, isn't it? You're only divorced from me? And nonetheless, the Torah is saying, when it comes to this case, that is absolutely correct. If he gave her a get like that, and he's a kohen, he's not allowed to take her back. And if he's not a kohen, and she now wants to go marry a kohen, and he drops dead, she can't. Because she was nitgaresh. Now, this was the pasuk that we had used for the idea of Reach HaGet. Now, over here, it's quite clear that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that this pasuk is a deraisa. Now, remember that the Rambam had paskin that Reach HaGet is only derabbanan. So now, the question is the Rambam understanding that this sugya of Reach HaGet, like the Magid Mishnah says, this sugya of Reach HaGet, the way it's being used by Rabbi Eliezer, is not the Reach HaGet that we actually paskin like, and that we're not relying here on Rabbi Eliezer and allowing this to be considered a get. But what we're doing is we're saying that since the Torah considered a get, which is only from her husband, to be called a get, therefore it's clear, remember, Rabbi Eliezer never said that you can give a get and say you're not mutara to anybody. He agrees you have to be mutara to somebody. He was only talking about a case where she was a surah to this one guy that he said, not him. So that is because if the Torah considers a get just from a person to be a get, then we are ready to understand that that means that obviously the Torah is not makbid on the concept entirely of sefer kritut, and I could be yotze that then by even being ma to her from one person. Masha'inkin, when it comes to a kohen, so we see that this is a kind of get. So in that case, when it comes bichlal to an actual kosher get, so then if I allow her to marry one person, so then it would be kosher totally, not just vis-a-vis the kohen. The Rabbanan say you can't derive anything from here because kohanim are always treated differently. They have different mitzvahs than Yisraelim do. And because of that, there may be a different concept of a get. And when it would apply only to the halacha of Reach HaGet of a kohen, and it has nothing to do with a derivation that such a get would also be kosher for Yisrael if he gave it for one person. That does not necessarily follow at all. Okay, that would be the machlokas then. So it wouldn't be rational. It would actually be a question of a pasuk. By Rabbi Abba. Now, Rabbi Abba has a fascinating question, which is, does this work in the other direction? If I can give a divorce for only one person, or except for one person, can I make a marriage for only one person, or except for one person? Now, this would leave a lot of room for open marriages. Oh, I say, I want you to be my wife, except when it comes to Mr. Chocolate Chips. So for that guy, you're not my wife. So then that would allow Mr. Chocolate Chips to continue having relations with this guy's wife, because for him, she's not married. Fascinating. So would that work? I mean, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if it works for a get, it might work in the other direction too. So by Rabbi Abba, what would be the din of Kiddushin? Now, I would ask this question according to Rabbi Eliezer, if it's a good get, maybe it's a good Kiddushin. And I could ask it according to the Rabbana. Does that mean that according to the Rabbana, if it's not a good get, then it's also not a good Kiddushin? Let me explain. To buy a little bit of Eliezer, here's how I would ask. I would say, maybe Rabbi Eliezer was only willing to go so far as to allow a divorce from one guy or except for one guy to be kosher. But that's because of the pasuk. Remember, the whole thing was analyzed in terms of a pasuk. So, Elamishum Dichtive Kroi. Masha Einkein Benogea Kiddushin. I mean, maybe you just need a total Kiddushin. A Kinyan Ba'alma. And it's like every other Kinyan. You can't make a Kinyan vis-a-vis one thing. So, maybe it would be different. O Dilma, question is, the powerful question is it not true that we have the fundamental comparison between the dinim of divorce and the dinim of kiddushin? And that is the pasuk that we quoted before, v'yatza v'ayta le'ishacher. That means makish yitzia leviyah. If the Torah is allowing this type of divorce, then it's allowing this type of marriage. Maybe? So aduma v'yatza v'ayta. Now, when it comes to Rabbanon, I'm also not sure. Because remember, the reason that the Rabbanon said that this will not work for a divorce is because the Torah went out of its way to say sefer kritut, a total, absolute separation between man and woman. But where did the Torah ever say that a marriage has to be a total and absolute connection with a man and a woman? It doesn't. So maybe it's enough to have an area that is special for me and you. So me and you, and 90% of the rest of the world are off limits. So me and you are very special in that sense, but we're not totally special. There's other people that you can sleep with that are not defined by my kiddush. So maybe when it comes to kiddushin, any type of kinyan, it could be even a lesser kinyan, a kinyan koldu would be enough. Or do we say according to Rabbanan also, look, if you can't do it for a get, then you can't do it for a marriage, because the Torah has already told us Gittin and Kiddushin are the same din. Anyway, Rav Abba was thinking about this. He didn't get an answer from anybody else. He came up with the answer on his own. He understood himself that anybody, no matter what their shita is vis-a-vis Gerushin, are certainly going to apply the same halacha to Kiddushin, because this was a given that nobody ever argued about, and that was be'inan v'yatza v'hayta, and therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's okay to have an open marriage, and according to the Rabbanan, it's not, because it would follow directly from the status of the get. Now, that's very fascinating, because if you can have an open marriage, it leads to all types of issues. For instance, remember that the Torah says, when it comes to the halacha of Yibun, it says beferish umet echad mehem, one of the brothers died, so then the other brother should do Kiddush. Remember that the Gemara in Yevamos learned that that meant one of them died, but not two of them died. And if two husbands die, then there's no din of yibum. Now, how the heck could two husbands die? So we always thought that this was just a remez to a rabbanan din. What would that be? Well, remember that there exists a concept of a semi-marriage, which is called ma'amar. Ma'amar applies to yavama. And if instead of sleeping with the yavama, which is the only way to really make a yavama your wife, instead, the guy went ahead and he gave her a diamond ring. And he said, now you are my wife. Now, the halacha over there is he wasn't kena the yavama, but he does make her prohibited to any other brothers. But that's a derabbanan. So let's say now he dies before he ever ended up sleeping with this yavama. So she never actually took off the status of yavama from the first brother. And now the second brother dies. And now there's a third brother. So that's a din that the third brother cannot do yibum. But I mean, if Maimer is only drabonets, and then that whole concept would only be a drabonet, right? You can only do chalit. But now, this is fascinating. Now we've got a case where you could have a yavama falling from two brothers. Let's say brothers Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven says, okay, I'm making you my wife to everyone except for Shimon. As far as Shimon is concerned, you're not married to me. And Shimon says, I'm making you my wife for everyone except for Reuven, my brother. As far as Reuven is concerned, you're not married to me. Ah, so now if both Reuven and Shimon die, looks like these kind of open marriages might not be such a good idea. Anyway, if both of them drop dead, so then the third brother in such a case is not prohibited from marrying her, and he actually is chayev to be miyabim, and strangely enough, that is not called a woman that falls from two separate husbands. Let's see that inside. Im timtza lomar, if you're ready to say that Reb Abba is right, and that Reb Eliezer allows these open marriages. So now Reuven comes along, and he says, you are my wife except for my brother Shimon. And Shimon comes along, and he says, you are my wife except for my brother Reuven. And then both of them die without children. The third brother, whose name is Levi, is mechuyev to be miyavim her. Ve'en ani koreba eshet shnei metim. She's not called the wife of two men. Huh? Why? My taima. Because, think about it, the kiddushin of Reuven, who ushered her to everyone, that's a good kiddushin. Because kiddushin, by definition, means you are off limits to others and thus special to me. But when Shimon married her, he didn't usher her to anyone. She was already asura to everyone because she was married to Reuven. And he didn't add Reuven to the isser, because he said, you're allowed to be with Reuven. So therefore, how do you call that a kedushin? So kedushin de Reuven ahanu, the kedushin of Reuven worked, but the kedushin of Shimon was defined as a non-kedushin because it did not add any special status to Shimon. So therefore, she's only the almana from one person, namely Reuven, and not from Shimon, and therefore she can be mityabemet to Levi. Well, says the Gemara, where would there then be a condition where she would be married to two husbands? Because, I mean, now that you're saying that there exists a concept of open marriage, I'm assuming that we should take very seriously the pasuk that says, which means that theoretically, there could be a marriage of two brothers. Yes, absolutely. The case would be very simple. Ela eshet shnei metim eichi mishkachat lo. Reuven comes along, and he says, you are my wife to anyone but Shimon. And then Shimon comes along, and he says, you are my wife. And then that would make Reuven usher on him, on her, because of his, Shimon's, marriage. So over there, the kedushin of Reuven was a valid kedushin because it prohibited her to everybody else. Hareyat asura lekulei alma, and you're mutara to me. But now Kiddushe Shimon added a new Isser, namely that because of his marriage, his brother Reuven cannot marry you, and therefore it also was a marriage, in which case, if she now loses both of her husbands, she would be falling from two husbands to Levi, and therefore Levi would not be miyabimer in that case. Anyway, getting back to the situation where we said that you should take back the get and you should give it to her again and say, Areot Muteret L'Chol Adam. How about, if he doesn't say, Areot Muteret L'Chol Adam, first he says to her, I'm giving you this get on condition that you're allowed to marry everybody except for Reuven and Shimon, right? And then he says, giving her the get again, or before he ever gave her the get the first time, Areot Muteret L'Reuven V'Shimon. So, did he mean only Reuven V'Shimon? Like, suppose he changes his mind. So, Areot Muteret L'Chol Adam Chutz M'Reuven V'Shimon. And he goes, to Reuven and Shimon. So, did he then say, okay, forget about it. I don't have any conditions. I don't have any chutzes. What's the din? Did he basically say, okay, forget it. It's a regular get. Or, since he didn't say for everyone and Reuven and Shimon, maybe he flipped it. Maybe he said, oh, you're disappointed. You wanted to marry Reuven and Shimon. Okay, fine. So this is a get only for Reuven and Shimon, not for anybody else. I mean, so how do we read his restatement? Is it just adding Reuven and Shimon, or is it flipping it? Odilma ma'ida asa shara, umayda shara asa. Maybe he now is making mutter what was before was usher, and what before was mutter, he's now making usher. Now, let's assume, I've got some more questions, but let's assume that he certainly meant, in this case, not to usher what it was that was mutter. Let's say that all he wanted to do is to say that, Reuven v'Shimon too. How about if instead of saying Reuven v'Shimon, he just said, Reuven. So did he mean, forget what I just said before about Reuven v'Shimon? It means everybody. Or does he mean only Reuven? So is it Reuven v'Adin l'Shimon? The only reason he said Reuven is, he was going to go through the whole rigmarole again. He said, I said before Reuven v'Shimon, Reuven too. Meaning, of course, Reuven v'Shimon too. Or perhaps he really did mean only Reuven. And if you understand it to mean only Reuven, what about it before he said, can't marry Reuven v'Shimon, and then he said, Shimon too. So does that mean Shimon? And of course, Reuven, the only reason he said Shimon was because the last word he had said, except for Reuven v'Shimon, Shimon too. Okay, so then that means Reuven too. So Haidekarba Shimon Mishum Desalik Mine? That was the last word I said, so I just go back on it. Or maybe he meant, no, only Shimon and not Reuven. Now, how about if he said, even Shimon? There's two ways for me to understand even Shimon. Even if we're going to understand not saying even Shimon and just saying Shimon meant only Shimon, but then even Shimon could mean even Shimon and certainly Reuven. But it might mean everybody and even Shimon. But I'm still not allowing Reuven. Whew! Take it. We actually cannot really decide. Now remember, the Rambam, who always paskins an imtim tzalomar, he understands that the only standing teku was these last two cases, but all of the other cases were expressed as an imtim tzalomar, and therefore we only have a teku in these last two. That's the Rambam's general klal about teku. Okay, Rabosai, I hope that is a wonderful opening to a whole new world of possibilities. What do you think of that? Would anybody have thought that we would find open marriages in the Torah, or that it might turn out that it's possible to have Eishes Shnei Meisim as a D'oraisa? Divrei Torah Aniyim B'Mokom Echad, Ashirim B'Mokom Acher. Wishing you, meanwhile, a wonderful day, and looking forward to the good Lord sparing us so that we can learn tomorrow. With great hopes, B'Tzorot Tovot, Yishuot V'Nechamot Kol Tov, everybody.